The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Chapter 10 of the book of John. Now, I disagree very few times, 96-97% of the time, I agree on how the chapters are divided in the Bible. John wrote this letter to the church, and he wrote it as a letter. And man came along and broke it down to chapters later on. So this is one of those times I disagree with the break of chapter 9 and chapter 10. Now, I think that God has given me a gift of looking at the scriptures, studying the scriptures, before I try to look at what anyone else says about those scriptures and then finish and then follow up with other commentaries and things. I would, if it was left up to me, chapter 9 would run to verse 13 of chapter 10, simply because of the conversation that takes place in chapter 9, and it continues on through chapter 10. So let's pray and see if we can get into this book in chapter 10. Father, we just want to thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to open up your word today. You know, my prayer, Lord, is that you'll move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. I thank you, Lord, that you are our God and you have written this through John by being controlled by the Holy Spirit. You know what you wanted to say. You have said it. May we preach it the way you wrote it. In your Son's most holy, precious, glorious name, we all say. What we're going to do is we're going to just slowly and methodically walk through this chapter because it is an amazing set of truths that if you rush through it, you're going to miss some of the most phenomenal points that God wants to make to all of us. Now, you and I have to concentrate on what's being said. Many of the Pharisees and Sadducees understood what Jesus was saying because they knew Jewish tradition. And Jesus is just telling them off. Understand? I mean, he is just taking no prisoners, as we would say. And it would start with verse 35 of chapter 9. We've read that. If you missed that section, please go back and grab it off the our internet. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. That's the blind man who was healed of his blindness. Now he can see, and he's cast out of the synagogue again. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talks with you." Clear, extremely clear about who the Messiah is right here. And Jesus is calling himself the Messiah, the shepherd. Okay? And Jesus said, "For judgment, I am come into the world, that they who see not might see, and that they who see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind? Are you calling us blind? And listen what Jesus says. Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you wouldn't have any sin. If you truly didn't know, it wouldn't be any sin. He said, but since you say you see, your sin remains. Let's translate that. He says, since you have seen, since you have heard, and you refuse to see, your sin really remains. If there's anyone in here today that's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not because you don't have enough information. Has nothing to do with information. It has everything in the world to do with you refusing to see. You refusing to accept. You refusing to surrender your life to the one who has been given to you. And man, oh man, Jesus Christ says, and since you refuse to see, let me lay a little bit more truth on you. And the conversation continues with verse 1 of chapter 10. And I think that that is one conversation that should have been glued together. Now, it is hard for any of us to think that we need someone to explain it better to someone else than you can. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you ever been and go, man, I wish I just had more answers that I could have told the person we could have talked about. I wish I could have known more theology. Let me give you a little secret. Can you say Jesus? Can you say Jesus is God?
Jesus is God.
Jesus died for your sins.
Jesus died for your sins.
And you have to accept Jesus as God and man. And ask him to forgive you of your sin. And he will. What else you need? Quotes from phenomenal theological minds. You ever heard Billy, anyone here ever heard Billy Graham speak? Same message, what I just gave you. First time I ever heard Billy Graham speak, man, I was just so excited. And I got there and he spoke and I go, man, why do they say this man is so great? I mean, really, I'm just giving you the truth, man. That's the simplest gospel message I've ever heard. This is Billy Graham. This boy ought to be rocking the world right now with some scriptures, man, going down deep in theology. Yeah, bam, dude, God, why? Jesus died for you. And I go, nobody's going to come down after that. The place emptied. Everyone came down. Won't accept Jesus Christ. Yeah. I think she wants to accept Jesus too. I get up, man. Elaborate on the scriptures and think I'm having some heavy duties and explaining it. Oh, Lord, I know you like hearing me on this speech. I get an invitation. People get up and leave the auditorium. It isn't about the speaker. It's about who the speaker is speaking about. And you don't need any more information than Jesus said. If you don't want to accept what I got to say and who I am, your sin remains. This is going to get nasty from here now. Are you ready? If you don't think Jesus was a slap kabooma spiritually, watch this conversation. Verily, verily. Now watch out when Jesus said verily, verily. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
He don't very, verily, very often. So when he verily, verily, he wants you to understand what he's saying. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now you got to watch out the changes of the definition of the door. If you try to make the door the same every time, you're going to miss what Jesus is saying. He said, if you don't enter by the door, if you climb up by some other way, if you climb up by some of these laws you Pharisees and Sadducees are putting on the people that God never did, if you're trying to get them to do something that I never asked them to do. Now listen, did he say, you ought to get your message straight? Did he say that? What did he say? You are thieves and robbers. Somebody tell me, what do you think they're saying when he asks, are we blind? No, you're a thief and a robber. So many of us go, well, you know, man, we need to be careful. We can't say things that are turning people off. We've already dealt with that in chapter 7 and 8. Truth has set you free, not sensitivity. We got too much sensitivity in the church today and not enough truth. You got to enter the door into the sheepfold. Verse 2. But he that enter in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now, he says, if you enter by the door, you are part of the sheepfold. Then he says, and the one who enters the door is the shepherd. Is that a change? You got the door that enters in, and then he who enters into that door is the shepherd. We got, whoa, 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 that's two doors here. What's up with this? Maybe. Maybe not, if you understand Jewish tradition. Now, why do you think the Pharisees and Sadducees are so upset when Jesus starts talking about the shepherd? What's the name of the shepherds that is given in Scripture for Jesus? Good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. And next week, we want to touch upon that a little bit. Today, chapter 10 is going to bring us into the good shepherd title. Now, he says, since I am the good shepherd, because I'm the one that entered through the door correctly, why would the Pharisees and Sadducees get so upset at that statement? Yeah, you guys came to church and you had to think today. I'm not telling you everything. Because the Pharisees and Sadducees people thought they were the shepherds of the people. God gave us the responsibility to shepherd the sheep. And then here comes someone who we've been bumping heads with the whole time. Now he's telling us he's the shepherd. And if we don't enter through him, we're thieves and robbers. I think they have a right to get a little upset. Especially when they're not controlled by the Spirit of God. Is everybody with me?
Yes.
Are we flowing real good with verse 1 and 2? Because if you don't get it in verse 1 and 2, you're going to get a little lost. Because the first six verses is about gathering. When we come together, we gather when? What part of the day do we gather? Sunday what? Morning is the norm. We gather. Jesus went together. Shepherds go together. They're sheep in the morning. Verse 1 through 6. Isn't that a coincidence? When did Jesus show up after he was crucified? Every what? Every what morning? Every first day of the week morning. Before it was the Sabbath, was the last day of the week. Jesus Christ totally changed everything around because there is a picture that was given about the shepherd gathering his sheep in the morning. Thanks, bro. I don't want to tell you something that you already know. So if you already know this, you know, just raise your hand and we'll jump, skip through some verses. No, I ain't gonna skip either, you know what I'm saying? I just want you guys to think you got some freedom. Oh, wow, verse 3. Hold on to your tunics. Verse 3, I'm the shepherd of the sheep. You know, sheep is the dumbest thing in the world. That just hit me when I saw that again. There's nothing dumber than a sheep. You know what God called us? Sheep. Now, we can say, yes, that's true, or we can get mad like the Pharisees and Sadducees. What's it going to be? One sheep can't help another sheep. Sheep can only take another sheep to the shepherd. Christian counseling is a sheep taking another sheep to the shepherd. Always remember that. If you as a Christian want to go get some counseling, I am amazed at the people Christians submit themselves under for counsel. Did I say that? Out loud? I shouldn't have said that out loud, but I did. Verse 3, to him the porter opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Woo! You don't know what Jesus just said, do you? You don't know what he said about the change of the porter. We got two doors. And all of a sudden now Jesus is going to throw something else at us. That's a couple of porters. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm glad you asked these questions because it keeps me preaching. Do you know who the porter is right there in John 10? John the Baptist. Why was John the Baptist sent? To be the forerunner to the Messiah. So John the Baptist was the door opener for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Is anyone having fun right now? Got to slow down. So if John the Baptist was the porter to open the door for the Messiah, who is the porter since John the Baptist has been beheaded? The Holy Spirit. A much better porter and doorkeeper. And if you want to get to Jesus Christ, you got to go through the porter. The Holy Spirit prepares. Let me see if I can. Man, you know what I'm saying, Cedric, man. I'm trying hard today. I'm trying hard. Oh. Anybody else want to come up and try this? Let me see if I can help you understand about the Holy Spirit being the porter now. Hudson Taylor. Anybody know who Hudson Taylor is? If you do, speak out. Tell me who he is. Great missionary to China. They said that this happened to Hudson Taylor one day. He was going down the Yellow River. We had to be careful how we say that and translate that today, being in China. And as he was traveling down the river, going to another place, his engine just quits. It conks out. And he's sitting there going, what in the world? And he has to float over to the bank and just happen to float over to the right bank. You know, coincidence. And he gets out of his boat and he's tinkering and tinkering and tinkering with his engine trying to get it started. And out of the jungle walks this tribesman. And he walks up to Hudson Taylor and he says, are you the one that God has sent to tell us about himself? Do you think the porter has been there? Do you think the porter has opened the door to this village? That was French, in case you didn't recognize it. Do you think it was the Holy Spirit that told Hudson Taylor, you can follow him into the jungle? It had to be, because if it was Hutch, I said, won't you bring that village out here? I am not following you, a guy I just met, into a jungle. You know what happens to some people that follow other people into jungles? They go up on the mirror, their head. But he follows him, goes to his village, tells him about Jesus. One message, and the whole village was saved. So how much more do you need to know when you got the porter going before you to open the door for the Messiah, not for you, not for me, for the Messiah? He gets through. He comes back from the village, get in his boat, and the engine cranks right up. We have an awesome porter and an awesome Messiah. And Jesus is blaming it on them, boy. And they are hot because, hey, we're supposed to be the keeper of the law. Jesus, that's the problem. I'm down here to set them free from the law. You keep making new laws. My. And when he puts forth his own sheep, verse 4, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his name. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Man, I wish that was so true today. We love people to tickle our ears. Now, see, the Pharisees would know immediately what Jesus is talking about when he talks about the sheepfold and he comes and calls. Because what happens when they are feeding their sheep and they're traveling? They got to follow the grass. Amen. They graze it down, then they move to another spot, and sometimes they get to close to a city, and they will bring their sheep into the city and put it into the public sheepfold. The porter will close the door. The shepherd will go off to get something to eat or find a room because he's been sleeping out in the open. And then here comes another shepherd. Walks right to the same sheepfold. Put all his sheep in. And then another shepherd comes in. Same sheepfold for all of his sheep. You got hundreds of sheep in the sheepfold, maybe thousands. Now, what do you do when you don't put all your sheep in with all the other shepherd sheep into one sheepfold? You know, one thing about sheep, they all look alike. Can you give the black man an amen right there? So how does the shepherd get his sheep out of the sheepfold without worrying about he's going to get cheated? The shepherd will walk up to the gate. The porter will open the gate. And the shepherd will sing out, yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, it may not be that way, but you know. I thought I was doing it up, man. Brother, was it the wrong key? That was the wrong piano. Yeah. That's how bad that was. And the minute he calls the sheep, all the sheep will raise their head, and he will walk off, and they'll come out. The other sheep won't even lift their head, won't even turn around. They just keep on eating because they know his voice. And you see, when Jesus calls you and I, and the porter, the Holy Spirit, opens that door and at light, we got to get our head up, and we got to answer. And we got to follow the shepherd. Oh, we have. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be the only one that should get excited about this. Man. And if someone else comes up and calls, she says, man, I don't know you. Not going down that road. You may have a barbecue fire going on. Now, Jesus is going to be called the Good Shepherd here. Any of you guys know about what happens when a sheep runs off and won't answer to the shepherd's voice? First thing, he goes down here to look for it the first time. And the shepherd's staff has another purpose. He'll grab and find that sheep, and he'll take his leg, hold it out, and he'll break it. Whack. And then he'll pick it up, bring it back to the flock, and he'll set it right next to him. Now, the lesson is, by the time that leg heals, sheep has learned to stay close to the shepherd. What happens if that sheep runs off again after having his leg broke? Mutton. Chops. Can I have an amen on that? Well, that's not right, Pastor. I mean, he eats his own sheep. Every church does. It's not him walking with Jesus. Every cult does. It's not walking with Jesus. You do. You eat one another when you're not controlled by the Spirit of God, the no porter. How can you say things to people you love sometimes the way you say it and how you put them down? I do not ever put my kids or my wife down. We talk and we talk about the truth. But putting them down in front of their face and telling them what I think, how bad they are or whatever, don't happen in the Hutchinson house with my family. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he would spoke about. They didn't understand the sheep thing and Jesus being the shepherd thing, but they understood the picture that he gave. Why does God tell parables? What's that? Easier to learn? No. It makes it more difficult to learn. Others? So that those who is hearing won't get too much information and be more responsible for their rejection. That's why a lot of times he would tell a parable and then when the crowd leaves, he would explain it to the disciples. Because if you get too much information, it hardens your heart. Isn't that something? First six verses is the what? What is the first thing we do on Sunday morning here? Gather. Then it's time to grow, to feed. Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, too verily, verily, very quickly. I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is talking to non-spiritual men, guys. Very secular in their religion. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He called them thieves and robbers again? Jesus, don't you know that's going to turn folks off? Wow. I am the door, verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, we're getting ready to do some eating, huh? Now, let me see if I can throw something at you. How many of you, don't raise your hand. How many of you have ever gotten in the Bible and it's just boring? I mean, you can't get anything out of it and you go, wow, man, I tried. I can't get anything out of it. You know why? There's two different reasons why you couldn't get anything out of the Bible. Number one, if you're a Christian and can't get anything out of the Bible, it's because you have unconfessed sin in your life. Holy Spirit don't work in a dirty vessel. So you got to ask God to forgive you, fill you with his spirit. Then you get in the word. And the Bible will be a lot clearer to you. The second reason you can't get anything out of the Bible, I'm afraid, is you are a non-believer. Spirit of God isn't in you. So spiritual things don't make sense to you. I pray that there's not very many in here that is that way. But I know there are some. Now, this is where we get in trouble. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill. Man, it goes from robbers, thieves, stealers, killers, destroyers. Jesus, would it be, could you give me one? Can you say one nice thing about us? I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more. Anybody here have ever slowed down enough to really look at what Jesus Christ means by the abundant life? I know a lot of churches give this a definition. Can't hear you. What do you think the abundant life is? Fulfillment? I'm sorry, just speak right up. Fruitful? What was the other one, ma'am? Peace of heart? A life full of love, eternity with him. Come on, guys. Most of us know what's been taught about what the abundant life is. Money. You believe, you receive. Money. That's French too. the rich painter. You just got to have enough faith, and God is going to come through. Those are the major thoughts of abundant life that's being taught out there, and it is so wrong. Do you guys know what abundant life is according to Scripture? I can't hear you. Well, I guess since I brought it up, I'll explain it to you, huh? Not. I'm going to make you go study. Nah, just kidding. Remember what I said to my son one time? I says, I blame you. He says, I didn't do it, Dad. I go, I didn't say you did it. I say, I'm going to blame you. Turn with me real quick as we close today to a little book over to the right of 2 Corinthians. Because if you go to the left of Corinthians, where will you be? 1 Corinthians. We don't want to be in 1 Corinthians. We want to be to the book right of 2 Corinthians. Can someone tell me what that book is? Galatians. Galatians. We don't have enough time to break it down today, but we will break it down some, the abundant life, a lot more next week. Verse 22, please. 5. I'm going to start reading. If you're in the wrong chapter, you'll know real quick if your 22 don't sound like mine. Ain't that true? But I'm a nice guy. Chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, what did God say the abundant life is? Fruit-controlled life by the Spirit of God that is the porter. Now, fruit can be plural and fruit can be singular. Amen? So if you read this verse, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, da, da, da. Is that fruit singular or plural? What was that? I heard singular and I heard plural. Do we have a consensus? How do we know it's singular? The is according on what is. R-A-R-E. R is plural. Fruit of the Spirit, R. Is it, did I spell A-R-E wrong? Okay, you got me confused, Jennifer. Fruit of the Spirit, R is plural. Fruit of the Spirit is, followed by the verb is, means it's singular. Now, here we go. Check this out. If the fruit of the Spirit is singular, you can't have one without the other. So I've heard people go, well, you know, I got peace enough by not making it right with my brother. Well, I want to tell you one thing. It's not the peace of God that you have. You have the peace of the flesh. Well, you know, it's just the way I am. I've always had an anger problem and self-control problem. Really? But I love her. I love him. Really? It isn't the love from God. How many of you know there's no self and self-control in this verse? There's none of you in this self-control. Meekness. You guys know what meekness is? Let me tell you what meekness is. Back when I used to saddle my stallion up, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, put my saddle on him, put the bridle on him, put it in his mouth, put the chain on his chin, And man, he is raring to go. I mean, many a day I would stick that first foot in the stirrup and he was already going. And I'm going across the field out there looking like black man. Heading for the fence, and I'm trying to get my other leg across his back to get in the stirrup before we make it to the end of that pasture, because I know it's going to be a mess when we get there and I don't have control of that power. Can I have an amen? And I get my foot in that stirrup, get hold to the reins, just put the tug, and that bit bites down in his tongue, and that chain bites up in his. Power under control. Not meekness is weakness, it's power under control. That is what God came to give us, the abundant life. Well, if there's anyone here that wants it, you don't need any more information. You need to accept Jesus. Just say amen. You need to accept Jesus. Jesus, here I am. I don't need any more information. I don't need any more theology. I don't need any more witnessing. I just need to know God. I need to quit refusing to see. And here I am. I believe you, God. I believe you, man. I believe you died as a sinless man for me and my sins. I believe you will forgive me my sins. If I ask, I'm asking, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for making me one of your children. Amen. See you in heaven.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.